We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, before we get to Paul, let me get you the updated NHL standings, which are brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets. Sabres lost last night. They sit at 31 points. Devils with 34. Anaheim 35. Ottawa 36. And Detroit, Columbus, and Vancouver all are at 39. Those are your updated NHL standings. Again, brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets. We are going to the Western Hotline. Mr. Hamilton is joining us right now. We'll continue taking your Bills draft calls as well. What would your reaction be if they took a running back, if they went RB at 3-0? 803-0550 to join us. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Paul, what do you want the Bills to do at 30? You got a particular position that you'd prefer to see them address? You got something you're pulling for?
I'm not a fan of first-round running backs. Never have been. So that would be something I would not want to see. I'll put it that way.
You think it's more defense, more offense? Do you have a preference?
No, I don't have a preference, really, other than I probably would lean not to take running back unless it's just some guy stuck out. And even then, I'm just not a big first-round running back person. I think you can address that need in different ways in different rounds of the draft.
You're old school. You still have a cassette recorder anyway. The Sabres last night, you started your article out in a kind of cool way, I think. It was a hard game to write about. There wasn't a lot to write about from the Sabres standpoint. There were some chances, but I think the most noteworthy thing that came out of it was that their power play was awful and could have given them a shot in the game last night.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the Bruins just were like almost robotic in the way they played, and it wasn't like the Sabres were, other than a 6-on-3, minute 33, 6-on-3, I can't say they were awful, but the power play was the thing that they were awful at, and that was the thing that, if they wanted, to get back into it, I really think they could have. And even when there's 2:34 left in the game, when Lauzon takes the penalty, yeah, you're down two goals, but now you pull your goaltender and you've got a minute 33, 6-on-3. You score right away. Now you've made it 2-1 and you're still on the power play. So, so even then, maybe it's not all hope is lost, but I mean, you got one, they didn't get credit for, Olofsson's one timer. Olofsson got a good one timer in the slot. I'm sure Rask made the save. I don't know why on the sheet they didn't get credit for a shot, but it doesn't really matter. But anyway, it was the only chance they had in the whole minute 33. They had a couple they put over the net, but they really weren't good chances. They allowed the puck to come out of the zone. I mean, the Bruins should never even touch the puck when they're 3-on-6.
Yeah.
And yet be able to clear the zone or anything like that. And it was just a disaster. And three different times on the power play, they had six power plays. Three different times they took away their power play by taking a penalty themselves.
I did like the seven guys on the ice, though. That was definitely a good shot. That was a good idea there.
Yeah, followed by, what did they have, 9 or 10 on the ice a couple of weeks ago, where they were – it was the most horrendous change I've ever seen in the NHL. They had 9 or 10 guys on the ice. And but you know, the penalty Ristolainen takes for roughing. What are you doing? You're on the power play. What do you just go barreling in there and take some guy out? I mean, they just didn't have their thinking caps on when it came to that. And I think in a lot of the game, they just weren't sharp. They weren't mentally sharp in a lot of what they were trying to do.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow, because I think in this short time frame under Don Granato as interim coach, Paul, one of the things they've done has shown the ability. I mean, nothing lingers for that long. They're able to come back and improve their effort, even just the Pittsburgh series, where they weren't very good, at least in the first period of the Saturday game. They came back and played a much better game on Sunday and won. So I'm curious to see how they come back, and I can ask that question in with something you referred to last night, Granato after the game talking about how his team took the easy way out, and he was happy that Boston is their next game again.
Exactly. And they didn't, and that's the thing. They didn't give up in this game. I mean, they had 15 total shots in the first 40 minutes. They had 17 in the third period. Still didn't solve Rask, but they were better, and they had some opportunities in the third period. But, you know, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter if they had 100 shots. They didn't get anything by the goaltender. And, you know, I think the one in the first period, the save he made on Cousins, I mean.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Cousins thought for sure he had a goal. I thought for sure he had a goal.
I did, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because Rask was busy. He was already on the other side of the net making a very good save on Ristolainen. And then it pops out on the other side to Cousins, who has the wide open net. And you're thinking, okay, there it is. It's a goal. And somehow Rask flies over and gets his glove on it and makes the save. And, you know, one of Cousins' seven shots on the game. Yeah, I mean, right then and there, you're thinking those were two really, really – that was when they had their opportunities. From the time DeBrus took his penalty, there was about 8 minutes left in the period, and you had Darlene hit the crossbar. You had those two chances there. Mittelstadt was in on a breakaway. All their really, really good chances for the game came in the last half of the first period there.
You know, speaking of Cousins, this, you know, watching him play and seeing what he can do on a game-by-game basis has been pretty exciting. He's a personal rush machine. He again showed the ability last night with his speed to get the puck and just fly up the ice, blow by forwards and go wide on defensemen and be able to get a chance out of it. It doesn't score, but it was another impressive rush, and we've seen him do that before.
Yeah, it's nice to see it, because I was anticipating he was going to be really good before he ever got on the ice, but you never know. And it's nice to see he's living up to the potential they saw in him when they drafted him, and he's doing it right away, which isn't easy to do in the National Hockey League, and it just shows you what kind of player the Sabres have on their hands there. And if Eichel is still here next year and remains a Buffalo Sabre, I think the Sabres are really going to be, if Eichel and Cousins are their top two centers for years to come, I think that's a very, very good place to start when you're trying to rebuild a team.
So, Jeremy mentioned the fact there was a picture of Eichel. I guess he was at the game last night. We're just trying to figure out, Jeremy mentioned, was he wearing a Bruins cap? I don't know if you saw Eichel or not, or a trade, was holding up a sign, please trade me, or anything like that.
No, the players are on the suite level, so
I don't have access. Sure. No.
Paul, any level with you is a suite level.
And
he
I'd
just,
pay.
He
I'd
just
pay
hangs
extra.
Out in the yeah. weeds there. He just waits for his chance.
He's going to jump in there. I'd pay extra to be with you, Paul. You know that. Reinhardt, I want to ask you about him, because we had Don Granato on the show yesterday who, and we've brought this up with you before, Mr. Hamilton. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Don Granato interviews, because it's really, whether it's Zoom calls with you guys or the Tuesday chats with us, it's really interesting to hear some of the stuff he talks about. And I think a lot of it, fans, hits a really good spot with fans. He talked about Reinhardt, how basically he shouldn't be going back to wing. That with a guy with that kind of vision and that ability and hockey smarts, you want him to be able to work to either side. So why put him along the wall? What about going forward with Reinhardt, keeping him at center?
I think in that case, I'd be looking to move Mittelstadt then, because, you know, I don't think when I'm thinking of a bottom six, you know, I would think of Mittelstadt as a third center. I wouldn't think of him as your number four center.
Mm-hmm.
So if that were your move, I don't know. I wasn't real fan of Mittelstadt on the wing. I've been a much bigger fan of him at center. I've probably been a much bigger fan of Mittelstadt's move to center than Reinhardt's move to center. Not that it's gone badly or anything like that. But you know you're going to get production out of Reinhardt if you happen to put him back to the wing. But if that's not the case, then, as I said, then I think you move Mittelstadt because I just don't see him as, you know, when you're going to the depth chart, 1, 2, 3, 4, as him being your number four center and being a useful part there. That's not what I'm looking for, you know, my number four center.
What's Asplund going forward? Is he a winger? Is he a center?
He's been playing very well on the wing.
Yeah, he's scoring.
He can play
yeah.
center.
Right.
But, you know, he's played very well on the wing and somebody that has shown us. And I always forget about Gergensen's when I'm talking about moving forward, too, because he, of course, was injured all year.
Yeah.
But, you know, Asplund, I think, very well can be somebody as your number four winger or your number four center. Or, you know, instead of going out and get Ko Ekin, I think, you know, they would have been better off just going with Asplund. Or, well, I would have signed Johan Larsson before I would have signed Cody Ekin for double the money. And I wasn't a real fan of, you know, signing Larsson just because it was just, you know, he's been here too long type of a thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think moving forward, he definitely would be a part of things.
One final question for you. He was the backup last night. Do you think we'll see UPL either Thursday or Friday?
It seems like that's what they're leaning towards. They don't want to commit to it, but it seems like they're leaning towards him playing on Thursday.
All right. And everybody's okay with me not having to pronounce the full name all the time, right? We all know who UPL is, I think, if I mention UPL.
You know, speaking of UPL, and he's going to wear number one, Paul, it's definitely been a different kind of time, obviously, in all the sports and Amerks lore and Sabres lore. I feel like UPL is this figure that Sabres fans know about, they've heard about. He's, what, 6'5". What do you know about him as a – not just as a goaltender, but as a prospect? You know, I want to say it feels like a little bit like Ryan Miller, where Sabres fans knew his name before he showed up. And I know expectations for him are high, right? I mean, this is a second-round draft pick and a guy that's been coming along. He's coming along. When's UPL coming? We talk about what they're going to do at goaltender, and it always goes back to, well, what's going on with UPL? So, I don't know. What do you have anything on him that fans might not know about him, the kind of guy he is, anything about his progression, how the Sabres feel about him?
I think that's how the Sabres felt, too, and I think that's why the fans felt that way. I think they felt eventually he was going to take the reins, especially after that World Junior tournament that he had, you know, where he played very well. Now, the last – it's funny because the last number one was Jonas Enroth, who was like 4'5". And right. now I see number one out there yesterday, and he's like 6'7", and it's like – that's not what number one is supposed to look like in a Sabre uniform. It was kind of funny to see that. So, yeah, I think it's – unfortunately, that's the thing about the Zoom age, you know, where we're not down in the locker room. We can't have conversations. I mean, that was one of the things to get to know Robin Leonard. You could sit and have a conversation with him, you know, and most times it really wasn't about hockey. Might have been on what was going on in the world. And he was very, very well read and was very up on you know, current events. So you could get to know players a little bit just by sitting and having conversations with them. I remember when Vanek and Pominville were around. I'd come in and they want to talk about the Bills right away. You know, the Bills game. And they were, you know, really up on what the Bills were doing and how'd you think the quarterback played and that type of thing. And we would have conversations about that. And unfortunately, with COVID and everything, we haven't had the opportunity to be able to do that.
And you do that with Marty, but then the rest of your afternoon was shot. Because one question and you'd be there 5 hours later.
So this hockey season, how many questions have you actually asked Marty total? About 8?
Oh, let's see. He's been on how many weeks? I'd say we average a question and a half per Thursday segment because in the second question, he will cut us off and start rambling. I'm kidding. I love Marty.
Plus, you get to him like 8 minutes late, so the segment's, you know, cut in half anyway.
What's your point?
And we got to set aside time for F1 talk with him, too. He's a big fan.
He is. That's right. He is a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's all the way in.
Yeah. What's your point, Hamilton? All right, listen, tell you what, mister, you're late for the break. Screw you. You're cutting you off early today. Ha! Take that. That'll ruin your morning. Less time with us. All right, be safe if you're going to cover practice. Or no, well, yeah, hey, wait, yeah, do you? Yeah, you do cover.
I think today's Brayton's turn.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Be safe. It's snowing outside. And thank you, as always, for your time, Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, Paul, have a good day.